And good morning, Dr. John McDougall, Northern California Radio Network. With great pleasure, I mean really great pleasure, I bring with you a man I've known for many years, a man I've had great respect for all those years. And even before I had a chance to meet him, I read about him in the scientific literature and the medical journals. He wrote an article one time that I quote to you often about how if you run a cholesterol less than 150, you're essentially immune from heart disease. You'll recognize his name because, as I say, I've mentioned him many times. He's the former head of the pathology division of the National Institutes of Health. He also is, or was, we'll find out, editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Cardiology. Right now he's at Baylor University, and he is the head of the Baylor Cardiovascular Institute at Baylor University Medical School. I'd like to welcome to the show, again, he hasn't been on in a while, it's been too long, Dr. William Clifford Roberts. Dr. Roberts, good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Dr. McDougall. It's a pleasure to be here. Good to hear you again.
Are you still doing the the American Journal of Cardiology?
Oh, yeah. We moved the editorial office here to Dallas.
Well, that's great. That's very practical.
Yeah, I'm not going to give that up unless I'm fired.
Well, was your passing the National Institute of Health, was that a friendly passage, or did you...
I love the National Institutes of Health. I was there 32 years, and one of the reasons I left was, number one, I had a very fine opportunity here in Dallas, but number two, I was in the public health service, and I wasn't sure that I could be renewed after 1995, and I wasn't about to stop work, so... That's the second reason I'm here in Dallas.
Well, you focused a good share of the career that I know about on the prevention of heart disease. And is it true, do you still believe that if somebody eats well and is able to get their cholesterol down below 150, that they're essentially immune from progression of atherosclerosis?
Absolutely. I think the major challenge is, well, as you know, total cholesterol level in umbilical blood, mother to baby, is about 75 milligrams per deciliter. And it shoots up to about 150 within 2 weeks of life. And averages about 150 until we graduate from high school. And then after age 20 or so, in our lipid-laden environs in which we reside, most of us, our cholesterol levels gradually go up after that. Now, if we could keep our total cholesterol what it was when we graduated from high school, namely approximately 150, atherosclerosis would be a non-problem. Secondly, as you well know and have written so much about, if we have cholesterol levels, and I'm talking about total, that are above 150, and the average in the U.S. now is about 215. If they're elevated, and I call anything over 150 elevated, if we can get it back down to 150 or so, essentially the evidence is pretty good that no more plaques will form.
My guest has lectured to over 1,200 medical meetings during the last three decades, and for 12 years he's been the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Cardiology, which has the largest circulation of any cardiology journal in the world. His name is Dr. William Clifford Roberts. You hear me talk about him often on this show. Dr. Roberts, if we get our cholesterol down to 150 or less, are we just preventing artery disease or are we reversing it?
Well, if there's atherosclerotic plaque already there, I think the evidence is that no new plaque will form. Now, depending on what the plaque that is already present consists of, if it consists of mainly fatty material, cholesterol-type material, that should disappear if one's cholesterol level falls below 150. If the plaque consists mainly of scar tissue, I doubt if that's going to disappear much. But really, we don't have to eliminate all of the plaque. One can take an artery, a tube, a pipe, and obliterate three-quarters of the lumen. That is, if you take a circle and divide it into four quadrants, you can almost obliterate three of those quadrants and still have substantially normal flow. Now, if somebody has a problem from atherosclerosis, that means that an artery somewhere is narrowed over 75% in cross-sectional area. And at least 10-15% of that plaque consists of fatty material. And that fatty material is clearly reversible if the cholesterol level is brought down enough.
Do you distinguish between bringing cholesterol down with medication versus bringing it down with a good diet?
Well, obviously, ideally, it would be nice to bring it down with a diet. But to do so with a diet, you really have to follow what you're doing, and that is go for primarily a vegetarian diet. In other words, most Americans eat something like 38-40% of their calories from fat, and a big hunk of that fat comes from eating a red meat, about a third of it. Now, if one decreases the percent of calories from fat by 25%, that is, bringing it down from 40% of calories to 30% of calories from fat, one only reduces the total cholesterol on an average of about 5%. Now, that would mean if you had a total cholesterol of 200, it would bring it down to 190. So that's not very good. Now, to reduce the amount of fat taken in by 50%, that is, a percent of calories from 40% to 20%, that'll reduce total cholesterol level about 20%. But if one can get it down to 10% of calories from fat, that's when about 30% reduction in total cholesterol can be achieved. And it really has to be to about 10%. And that requires a pure vegetarian diet for practical purposes.
And if someone can't do that, or they do eat a pure vegetarian diet and still it does not reduce their cholesterol to what you would consider substantial, the addition of cholesterol-lowering medications, is that beneficial?
Oh, I think it is. I think the cholesterol-lowering medications today are really excellent, and I think that they are going to be equivalent in a way to the penicillin of the last half of this century. Now, none of these drugs would be necessary for most people if we were all pure vegetarians. Now, there are two exceptions and two indications, in my view, where cholesterol-lowering drugs are clearly indicated. They are in patients or people with primary or familial hypercholesterolemia. That is, they have the cholesterol gene. And these people in general run a cholesterol level of about 300 or a little above that. I don't care what kind of diet these people are on, it's probably diet in them is not going to bring that cholesterol level down to the 150 area, with extreme exception. The other indication, in my view, for cholesterol-lowering drugs are in people who've already had an atherosclerotic event. That is, they've had a heart attack, or they have pain in their legs when walking, or they have evidence of a body organ not getting enough blood. Now, I think those people should all be on a cholesterol and fat low diet, but if they've already had a problem with atherosclerosis, they need to get those cholesterol levels down dramatically as soon as possible. And I think in them the drugs are extremely beneficial. They are not a substitute for the diet, but in the real world, there are just not a lot of people that are going to go all the way down to 10% of calories from fat.
So what are
to a pure vegetarian diet.
What are your preferred drugs for second-line therapy?
Well, my preferred drugs by far are the statin drugs. Lovastatin, simvastatin, pravastatin, and fluvastatin.
The ones that stop cholesterol synthesis. Ellie, welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. William Clifford Roberts. Can you speak up, please?
Yes. My question is, if it is accepted that diet would have that type of an impact on the cholesterol, why don't the doctors at least present that that would be the best and preferred direction to go and encourage people to do it? You're saying that the people in the real world won't do it. Well, my family does it. My children do it. My grandchildren do it. We've been doing this for years. I don't see that the doctors are saying, well, first of all, Mr. So-and-so, you've got this high cholesterol. First of all, we're going to put you on a 10% fat diet. This is the way to go. I don't see that. I see they say, okay, well, let's give you some drugs first.
What do you think about the medical business and its relation and its responsibility in relation to patients, Dr. Roberts?
Well, I mean, I think there are several things here. Number one, people who are enthused about diet are those who are doing it themselves. Now, most physicians are not on a 10% of calories from fat diet. Most physicians are probably on a 38% of calories from fat diet. There are exceptions. But doctors or physicians in general are not diet experts. They're not nutrition experts as a rule. Now, I agree with you that it would be nice to tell people to go on a 10% of calories from fat diet, but most are just simply not going to do it. You really got to be motivated to do that.
Well, I think death would be a motivator.
I would think so too, but let's face it, most people think that the heart attacks are going to come to their neighbor and not to themselves. Most people are gambling.
To me, the doctors could change the odds. Now fewer doctors smoke. But how many years did it take before finally the doctor started saying, hey, you don't want to die, stop smoking. But it had to be publicized, and the doctors have to tell the people, look, this is the way to go. Don't the doctors read the papers? Don't they, research situations? To me, the doctors have a responsibility to be saying,
look,
hey,
I couldn't agree with you more. What you're saying, in a way, is that physicians must set the example of, in health. And I agree with that.
Thank you, Ellie. And Dr. Roberts, what did you spoke at 1,200 medical meetings in the last three decades. How many of them served a pure vegetarian, low-fat diet? what did they serve at the last American Heart Association meeting that you lectured at or attended?
Yeah. Well, there's more fish served, but clearly there's some type of flesh served. It's either chicken. It's less steak now. 5 years ago, there was more steak served than now. Now it's chicken or fish, but there's always some flesh. I don't think I've ever encountered a pure vegetarian a sit-down meal. That's one of the things that's nice about cafeteria style. You can serve yourself, and you can pick, and you can put in your plate what you want. So somebody else is not determining what you should be eating.
I hope they didn't give up the cheesecake, though. I'd be very upset. I wouldn't attend the next meeting. Let's talk to Elma in Petaluma. You're on with Dr. William Clifford Roberts, Elma.
Yes, Doctor. I wanted to ask a question in regards to myself. A year ago at a McDougall seminar, I'm a vegan. A year ago at a McDougall seminar, I had a cholesterol of 251. I thought it was just a fluke because it was the pinprick type. But this year, a breakdown at a lab said I had a 235. So my doctor said, well, we'll wait and see. And then I convinced her to give me some medicine, which is called Questran. And I find that that causes constipation. And would it be just as beneficial to take a half a packet of that a day? Would that still work as cholesterol-lowering medicine?
Let's see what Dr. Roberts thinks about Questran as opposed to the statins. Dr. Roberts? We lost Dr. Roberts on the phone. We'll get Dr. William Clifford Roberts back in just a moment. I'm Dr. John McCook. Well, let me try and answer your question while we're getting him back. Elma, you will get some benefit from a half a pack of Questran. Did you try some of the natural cholesterol-lowering medications that I recommend?
The niacin?
Well, niacin's pretty potent. I recommend things such as...
That made me sick, actually.
Right, yeah, that's why I don't give that very often. But I recommend things such as garlic,
Goo Goo Lipid.
I haven't tried the Goo Goo Lipid.
And vitamin C, 2 grams a day, and vitamin E.
I do take the C, D, and E combination.
And the Questran is a tough drug to take for many people. It causes indigestion, bloating, and constipation, so it may not be the one for you, the right way to go. How old are you, Elma?
52.
Well, I think you ought to pay as close attention to it as you are right now, and to take the next step, to take something like Mevacor or one of the other cholesterol-inhibiting agents, I think it might be reasonable.
Now, I had yellow jaundice as a youth. Mm-hmm. Would Mevacor still be okay?
It should still be okay. You just need to follow your liver function tests. And I certainly, if I was in your situation, would consider something like that. But do the best with the diet and the natural medications first before you jump into the more doctor-prescribed. I'm Dr. John McDougall. Be back with you in just a moment. We had a little argument here, Dr. Roberts. Is your accent Texan or a little further east?
A little further east.
Georgia. There you go. There you go. My producer said, no, this is not Texas. This is Georgia.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the telephones. Jim, you're on with Dr. William Clifford Roberts. Hello.
Hello, doctors. Thank you. It's a wonderful program. For about 3 years now, I've been attempting to reduce my cholesterol. It ranges anywhere from 230 to 300. I'm 51 years old. About 6 months ago, I started listening to your program, Dr. McDougall, and I no longer eat any meat, poultry, fish, milk. Very, very, very rarely I have cheese. But I do drink a couple glasses of wine a day. I got a cholesterol test yesterday. My total cholesterol was 267, and my triglycerides were 400. In other words, it went up from the prior test, which was like down about 230. So I'm wondering if maybe I'm one of those people who's got the genetic thing that Dr. Roberts was talking about, or if there's something I can do that would be, the natural ways of reducing cholesterol, if they would work.
You want me to comment?
Oh, absolutely, I do.
How long were you on the diet?
I started in about March.
What?
I started about March.
Yeah.
But I do eat occasionally a little bit of cheese, and Dr. McDougall doesn't like us to drink wine, but I drink wine.
Well, I don't think the wine is going to affect your cholesterol, at least from a going up standpoint.
How about the triglycerides, though? His triglycerides were 467.
Yeah.
400 were the triglycerides.
400.
Cholesterol was 267.
Yeah. What were your triglycerides before?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah.
But my cholesterol was about 230 last time.
Yeah, well, the alcohol will raise the triglycerides. They'll also raise the HDL on occasion. I wouldn't advocate alcohol for their beneficial effects on lipids, however.
Mm-hmm.
Two glasses of wine a day, though, is not gonna hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what size glass you use. if it's an 8-ounce glass, that's a lot
of
alcohol.
Yeah, it's probably smaller. Yeah, it's probably larger than that. No,
if it's 4 ounces of glass, you ought to know. You ought to measure it so you know precisely what you're getting. So each glass is 4 ounces, that's about 120 cc's, so that's pretty close to 20 cc's of alcohol a day.
So here he is, a young man, Dr. Roberts. He's got a cholesterol that everybody in this country would be frightened to have at 267. So he's following a pretty good diet. Of course, you and I are going to tell him to straighten it out even more, but what are we going to recommend in terms of drug therapy for triglycerides of 400 and cholesterol 267?
Well, I think you need to get a fasting analysis here, so you know exactly what your HDL is.
I have that. The fasting. I had the fasting analysis. My HDL was 31.
Well, that's low.
And my LDL was 156.
Yeah. Well, I suspect you have the familial variety. Do you have children?
Yes.
Have they been tested?
No.
What's your story in your mother and father?
Well, my mother and father both had, didn't have trouble with their cholesterol like I did.
Are they alive?
No, they both passed away.
And did they die from heart disease?
No, they did not.
At what age?
Father was 83, mother was 76.
Yeah, well, that's a bit of evidence against the familial variety. You might keep a diary for a couple of weeks, so you know precisely what you're eating. And then have the test again, and it may well be that you will need to be on a lipid lowering drug. Now triglycerides vary a good bit. What is your body weight?
178.
And how tall are you?
5'7" plus.
Yeah. Now you need to lose some weight. If you lose some weight, that might be beneficial to that triglyceride level. Do you smoke cigarettes?
No.
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 I would work on your weight. I would continue on the diet situation, and go get these analyzed again.
Okay.
Who's taking care of you?
I go to Kaiser.
That's an HMO out here.
Yeah,
it's an HMO. Right.
Well, I think you have some time to work with. You're 51 years of age, but you want to get down to as close to ideal body weight as you can. Now, if you stay on this fleshless diet,
yeah, I lost 8 pounds real quick on Dr. McDougall's diet.
Yeah, well, keep it up. You still need to lose a few more.
Right.
I mean, at 5'7", nearly 180 pounds is too much.
Uh-huh.
Get that body weight down, and then you ought to be looked at again.
Right.
I don't think it's possible to be sure one way or the other whether you're one of these familial varieties or not. The familial variety, for your information, is only about 1 out of 500 people. Some people argue that it's 1 out of 200. Most of us have our cholesterol levels elevated because of what we eat.
And thank you for calling, Jim. And, Jim, you've heard me talk about fruit and elevated triglycerides, I hope. And don't forget exercise. I'm sure Dr. Roberts would want you to do that. Well, and we have Shirley on with Dr. William Clifford Roberts. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Dr. McDougall. Dr. Roberts, I'd like to ask you something. My husband has had...
Can you talk up just a little bit, Shirley?
Yeah, I can't hardly hear.
My husband has had 2 carotid surgeries, and the last surgery, they closed the left one, you know, completely. And he's on Pravacol and Questron, and he feels that as long as he's taking his medication, he doesn't have to watch his diet. So it seems to me, could plaque still build up in the arteries if you're on the medication and you don't watch your diet?
So this is all too common problem, Dr. Roberts.
Yeah.
Your husband doesn't thinks the medicine's the solution, and you can sprinkle a little bit of Pravacol over the bacon and eggs.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it is... The thing about the lipid-lowering drugs, at least the drugs that your husband is on, at least Pravacol, that works the same way that a low-cholesterol, low-fat diet works. So when one takes eats a low-fat, low-cholesterol diet with Pravacol, those two are working synergistically together. Questran, which is a bile acid resin, works a bit differently, but the combination of it and Pravacol is a very good combination. Now, it is true that if one does not eat a low cholesterol and low fat diet, these drugs are also beneficial and they are effective, but they are not nearly effective as when they're combined with a low-fat, low-cholesterol diet. Your husband shouldn't quit taking these drugs, but he would just be a lot better off if he would alter his type of calorie intake.
Is he listening, Shirley?
I don't know if he's listening in the kitchen or not, but, you know, I think he's in that percentage where his liver manufactures the cholesterol. And finally, he went to the lipid clinic here in Santa Rosa, and because his doctor simply refused to treat him because his, you know, by watching his diet some, his cholesterol didn't go down at all. It just stayed up and maybe went up higher. So finally, he said, I'm not going to be responsible for taking care of you. So he sent him to the lipid clinic, and they put him on these drugs, and his LDL is 159, his HDL is 35, the triglycerides are 114 now, so, and the liver is normal.
Well, Shirley, you tell him you love him a lot, and you're going to continue to try and help him, regardless of how self-destructive he continues to be. Thank you for calling, Shirley. And Pat, welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. William Clifford Roberts.
Hi, it's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
And I'm really so glad that there's someone in the medical profession that has a voice that believes that 150 cholesterol is the right target.
Absolutely.
I can't take medication very well, and I've had a heart bypass, and I had one artery involved. And I did get my cholesterol down from 231 in September to 198. And I think I evidently got it down because I lowered my triglycerides from 393 to 136.
Good.
And I listened to Dr. McDougall, and I use a product called Googleplex. But I'd like to get my cholesterol down to 150, and I wondered if there's anything that you could tell me.
Well, I would advise you to get it to 150 if you can, since you've already had an atherosclerotic problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you've been shown to have at least one of your coronary arteries quite narrowed to warrant the bypass operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do you say you can't take the drug?
Well, it really gave me indigestion. I tried taking that Quistran, and it just, I didn't like it at all. It was just really vile to me.
Yeah, well.
And I did try taking Mevacor, and that gave me indigestion. I may have been taking it with other medications, and that might have been the problem.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what you're eating for sure, but.
I follow a strict McDougall.
Okay, well, if you can possibly get that cholesterol down from 198 to 150, you shouldn't form any more plaques.
Uh-huh.
I would forget about Questran and take one of the statin drugs. They are called HMG-CoA reductase inhibitors. And Mevacor is a good one.
Okay.
But just take Mevacor itself. Start out with 20 milligrams.
Okay.
And with a 20-milligram tablet, you should be able to lower your cholesterol by about 18%.
Oh.
Now, that should bring your total cholesterol down from about 198 to about 160.
Okay.
So I would see your doctor about it, have your blood drawn again, and have your levels tested again, and then with 20 milligrams a day, and then go back in a month, and I'll bet there'll be close to 160.
Oh, Pat, that's some good advice for you.
Oh, yes. I'm glad to hear it.
You report back and let us know how you're doing, okay?
Okay, thanks.
And thank you very much for calling. My guest, Dr. William Clifford Roberts, and there are two lines open. Yes, if you'd like to get in, we're going to have a few more minutes before the top of the hour. The number is 270-1350. We have Amy from Windsor, who we're going to talk to next. I'm Dr. John McDougall, and we'll be back with you after these messages. Dr. John McDougall, Northern California Radio Network. With me is the Executive Director of Baylor Cardiovascular Institute of Baylor University Medical School in Dallas. That's Dr. William Clifford Roberts, also Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Cardiology, a man I've had the privilege to know for a long time, who's making a difference, and as one of the callers said, from the inside. One of the questions that came up on break was that once you take these cholesterol-lowering medications, Dr. Roberts, do you have to take them for the rest of your life?
Well, that depends what you do on the diet side and why the medicine is being taken. I think most people with familial hypercholesterolemia are probably going to have to take them for a lifetime. In people who have, let's say, a total cholesterol level of 240 because they're on a 40% of calories from fat diet, and that is they're eating about 130 or 40 grams of fat a day probably, if those people can get their calories, percent of calories from fat down to 10, 20% possibly, they may get off the drug. But whether or not one gets has to stay on the drug a lifetime or whether one can get off is mainly dependent on how low fat, low cholesterol diet one can tolerate.
But the drug commitment certainly is for a long time when you decide to do it. Let's talk to Amy in Windsor. You're on with Dr. William Clifford Roberts.
Hi. My son was ill last year. He's 13, and we were shocked when we found out that his cholesterol was 250. He's only about, he's less than 100 pounds, and he's about 5 foot. And my husband and my mother-in-law both have high cholesterol. And I could eat McDougal all the time, but my family is pretty rebellious about it. What do you do about a teenager who has high cholesterol?
Well, it sounds like this is familial hypercholesterolemia in your family. That is your husband and your son. He's gonna almost certainly gonna have to be on a cholesterol lowering drug at some time. I would not do it until he's older, probably 20. But he, at this age, he needs to learn good, healthful eating habits. And I don't know how to sell you. I don't know how to, you're already sold, but I don't know how to sell him. But that's a major challenge that that he's got to confront. And that if he enjoys life and good health, he's going to have to alter his dietary ways.
I hate to be unkind, Amy, but the loss of his father may be a great stimulation for him to change his diet.
Well, he hasn't lost his father.
No, but he may.
Well,
your 13-year-old may lose his father with a cholesterol that high, and that may be the stimulus that he gets to change his diet, and that would be a sad way to go about it, wouldn't it?
Well, that's a pretty scary thought.
Well, all you can do is work on it, but when you buy the groceries, you're determining what your family eats. And I would try to bring only good food home.
Well, I do, but one of the things that he does is he eats a lot of cereal. And he eats like 3 bowls of cereal a day, puts milk on it. And I buy 1% milk, but it's still difficult.
Well, Amy, just keep, go ahead, Dr. Robert.
I was just going to say that even for a youngster, a teenager, once one gets used to skim milk, then the 1%, 2%, and whole milk, it does not taste good. But it's a matter of getting used to. If he could try cereals with skim milk for a month, I'll bet he wouldn't want to go back to the other.
Well,
okay.
just keep working on it, Amy. You got a lot at stake there, and it sounds like you're a very concerned woman. You have every right to be. Dr. Roberts, what's the rest of the business doing? I mean, you know, you and I have been talking about this for almost 10 years. Do you see changes among our colleagues, changes in the financing of research, any excitement in the area of prevention of disease as opposed to treatment?
Well, I don't know if there's much change yet in primary prevention. That is getting people's cholesterol levels down before they have trouble. Secondary prevention, I think the new study, the 4S study, which was published last week, as you know, in Lancet, this is the first study that shows in people who've already had heart attacks that if they lower their cholesterol levels substantially after the heart attack, that the rates of subsequent heart attacks are diminished enormously. And total mortality is decreased. That is, your chance of dying from something else is a bit less. So the evidence is in overwhelmingly that if you have a heart attack, the best thing you can do is to get that cholesterol level down. It's better than taking an aspirin tablet, a beta blocker tablet, or a calcium antagonist tablet, any other tablet.
Well, Dr. Roberts, the hour went all too fast, and you're a great inspiration for me, as I'm sure you have been for all my listeners.
Well, you have been for me, John, so thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We'll get together more often. Dr. William Clifford Roberts has been my guest, and the message is very clear. That is, it's time to make those dietary changes. I look forward to joining you tomorrow. I'm Dr. John McDougall.